remember asking her what a political idealist was. Because there's a little bit where they're talking about Count Dooku, and Kaya Mundi is like, he's a political idealist, not a murderer. And I remember, like, what is that? And so I asked my mom, she's like, how do I explain this to my 8-year-old?
This is the Swine Before Pearls podcast with Joel and Trent.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine Before Pearls podcast. This is the show where we go over the greatest works of art ever.
Yep, and sometimes the worst works of art, too.
But this week, one of the best.
Yeah, this is tip top. And we have a guest with us today. This is Jack.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Jack.
How are you doing,
hey,
Jack?
Hey, Trent. Hey, Joel. Thank you for having me on the show.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for crawling out of under a rock to come and hang out with us.
Yeah, thanks for paying millions of dollars in order to join in.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
He's one of our top Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, that's right.
We have a Patreon now.
Yeah. All you have to do is get a back tattoo of the podcast.
Yep.
You want to show it? No.
All right. Well, welcome. We are doing our new segment for the summer called Wild Summer. Everybody get ready. For our video viewers.
So wild.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we are going to be talking about The Phantom Menace.
Star Wars Episode 1.
Which is notably not on top of the IMDb rated
and
list.
It should be.
It should be. Yeah. Obviously. Everybody knows that.
All right.
It's not on top of Rotten Tomatoes.
No.
Haters.
Yeah. Screw them.
It's not on top of anything.
No.
But you know what it is on top of?
My heart.
And the list of things we wanted to cover today.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. So basically the premise for Wild Summer is we wanted to take things a little easier, just do some more familiar stuff.
Yeah.
And we make this content year round for you.
Yeah.
And you ungrateful pigs.
Yeah.
Don't even care.
Is that what our fan base is called? Pigs.
I am a pig.
You don't even care to give us as much money as Jack has, and you don't get tattoos on your body. But Jack did.
That's right.
Thanks, pig.
So now,
I guess I'll kick us off.
All right.
Okay. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't remember watching Star Wars Episode 1 as a kid. Like, I don't remember my initial reaction to it. I don't remember really seeing it.
I do.
What was yours like?
Okay. Well, I have to set the scene first, right?
Okay.
So imagine me. You know our friend Fred?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm aware.
First, he shows me Episode 5. That's the first Star Wars movie he shows me. So that's the first one I ever watched.
So you've already started with 5.
Yeah, I already started with 5.
You're hopeless.
Yep. Then I watched half of 6 with my cousins.
Okay.
And then I went to the library and checked out Star Wars Episode 1.
Why only half of 6?
Because that's all we had time for.
After the Tatooine.
After Slave Leia pops up.
Slave Leia is off the screen.
I was like, sorry guys, I have to go. I have to watch Christian movies for the rest of my life.
Bible Man.
Bible Man only for life Veggie Tales.
So you went to the library and you rented it?
Yep.
By yourself?
By myself. No, I think I was with my mom and just like I picked it up.
So your mom looked at that box cover and actively decided, yeah, this is something my young child should watch.
I mean, I was like 10.
Oh, wow.
It's Star Wars. Everyone knows what Star Wars is.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's not like someone's going to be like, what is this?
My
Queen
family...
Amidala looks pretty cool. I bet my son would like this.
My family owned VHS copies of Star Wars. I just never watched those VHSs.
No.
You got to watch the VHSs. That's all we had for like up until 2006 was the VHSs of the originals. Like before Georgie came in with the special effects that just clogged up the screen.
Okay, honest talk though. I saw them on the shelf and I still thought my parents would never ever in a million years let me watch them. For some reason, I thought they were just radically inappropriate and that my parents would never let me see them, and I just assumed
it's so funny how that is, because I remember digging around my dad's basement and he had individual episodes of Star Trek on VHS, and I was like, this is some bad adult stuff and I can't go near it. I'm like, what's this Klingon doing on the back here? I don't know, I'm a child, I can't be looking at this. It's like, I think if they had it more pronounced on a shelf somewhere, I'd be more attuned to it.
We just outed ourselves as hyper shelter.
Oh, dude, I thought Looney Tunes was like a very raunchy adult cartoon. As a kid, I was like, yeah, Looney Tunes is what you watch when you smoke cigarettes and hang out behind the bowling alley.
So what was your reaction when you first watched the library copy of The Phantom Menace?
Oh, I thought it was so cool. It had everything. It had a double-sided lightsaber.
Yeah.
That was enough for me. I ranked the Star Wars movies. One was my favorite because it had the double-sided lightsaber. And then two was my second favorite because it had the purple one.
That was how I ranked them. Really, just based off lightsabers.
Yeah, actually.
It's like, screw those original ones. They just had blue and red.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they were the inferior movies.
Count Dooku has one and it's crooked.
But don't...
You thought the earlier ones, the originals, were the inferior ones?
Yeah, they were slower and
I still
didn't have cool
are.
Lightsabers.
I still think they're their inferior movies.
You've seen the lightsaber battles. They're just like, boom, boom.
Just like kind of tipping it.
Yeah. Man, I would have gone crazy for the new trilogy because it's got the cross guard.
Oh, thank goodness you were a mature adult when you watched those and couldn't actually get into them at all.
Yeah, that's too bad.
No. What about you, Jack? Do you remember the first time you watched it or any initial impressions when you were a kid?
I remember... The first time I remember watching it, picking it up from the movie store, picking up the VHS copy of The Phantom Menace, and like, this is Star Wars. You know, it's like, well, I've watched the three that I had in like the box set over and over again. I can't wait to see. But the funny enough thing is, I can't remember a super strong impression. I remember thinking, like, is this Star Wars? Because like the characters seem so different. You know, even as a kid, I was able to recognize the difference between like solely computer animated characters and, you know, puppets. I remember like the character that stood out the most to me. I don't know his name, so maybe I'm not a true fan. The two-headed guy at the pod race.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
Just like, whoa, looks like Anakin's found some trouble. And I remember thinking, is this Star Wars? It's not the vibe that the original Star Wars gave me. It's like,
wow, Lily and he...
NASCAR in space.
I had only seen 1.5 movies, so I was not inundated yet. This was all I knew.
Here comes Dale Earnhardt Jr. on his number 7 pod racing car. Wow.
But I mean, as time went on, a Star Wars fan as a kid, pretty much all Star Wars was incorruptible.
Yeah.
Including Episode 1. Like, I was immune to the negative feedback. I wasn't even aware of it.
Sure.
Oh, no. I was so shocked when I was hanging out with Fred. A lot of my Star Wars experiences with Fred. But he was like, yeah, my dad hates Star Wars Episode 1.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, what's wrong with your dad?
Yeah. I remember being at a sleepover at Fred's house, and we looked up on the shelf, and it was like, hey, let's watch a Star Wars movie. And we're going through, and Star Wars Episode 1 was not in the collection on the shelf. And I was like, what's wrong with that? I was like, no, this is a bad movie. And I was like, but it's got Jar Jar Binks, and he's silly. And then you got the bongo and the sea. And it's got all the cool Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah, the undersea monsters. You're going to all these different locations. You're on Tatooine.
Sure.
You're on Naboo. You're all over. You're in space. R2-D2's there. Everyone loves R2-D2.
It's got enough elements that as a kid, it, you know what? It's kind of a boring movie at points. But like as a kid, there's enough like little elements in there that kind of, and they're like those scenes are like marketed to you. They're marketed to you in the action figures, in the Legos. Like, I had a Gungan carriage with the blue bomb Lego set.
I had the pod racer set.
Yeah, and you're like locked into those scenes because you get to play with them. And then you, like, when you think of Star Wars Episode 1, do you think of them talking about trade?
trade negotiations. Space,
but
taxes.
Space taxes.
As a kid, a lot of times... Some of the stuff in action movies, like the actual meat, goes over your head anyway.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of difference between talks of politics and trade. Talks of politics and trade. And just actually good plot when you're just an adrenaline-addled 10-year-old.
Dude, I just remembered the first Star Wars toy I ever got.
Okay, what was it?
I was at Chick-fil-A, okay? I'm pretty sure this is legit. Okay, this is a deep memory, so you guys get ready. This is transporting into the past.
I really don't think Chick-fil-A gave out Star Wars toys.
No. I'm legit here. It's either Arby's or Chick-fil-A.
It was Arby's. No way Chick-fil-A
not a big brand. It was not a big brand. It was like one of those smaller ones. And it's like 2001 or 2002. You know the purple guy? Who's the guy in the purple robes with the beard? And he's like in the trade negotiations. He's part of like the
Naboo.
He's super lame. He's just like a politician.
The bald guy looks like Colonel Sanders.
He's just like a bald politician. And they had like a trading card or something with like a holographic trading card. And that was my first exposure to Star Wars was this bald politician in purple robes. And I thought he was so rad. And I could not wait. When I watched the movie, I was looking for him. And I lost my mind when I saw him in his scene.
Going back to what Trent said just about like the heavy stuff that went over the kids' heads. It's like this is a... Episode 2, not Episode 1, but the same vibe that the prequels had. I remember going up to my mom, and I probably would have been like 8, and I remember asking her what a political idealist was. Because there's a little bit where they're talking about Count Dooku, and Kaya Mundi is like, he's a political idealist, not a murderer. And I remember like, what is that? And so I asked my mom, she's like, how do I explain this to my 8-year-old?
All right, Jack, quit eating glow sticks for 5 seconds.
Oh, man.
Joel's a big fan of political idealists Ted Kaczynski.
Dude, I would...
He was both a political idealist and a murderer.
No, dude, I was...
Count Dooku in real life.
I was so over that stuff. Like, all I remember really about Star Wars Episode 1 in those days was just the merch, man. The Go-Gurts with the lightsaber blades that glowed in the dark. Like, just all the stuff. We squeezed them open onto the ceiling.
I definitely found like a Darth Maul glow spoon and a box of Fruit Loops or something.
Yeah, the glow spoons.
Oh, I think my cousins had those, but I didn't have them.
Those were sick.
You were not allowed to eat cereal.
Those were sick. And my mom hated them because they were a pain to wash properly. So they'd always have like curdled milk in between. And whenever I like ate with the spoon, I thought I was regal and I kept lighting it up before. It's the stupidest stuff, dude.
Man, they did a good job marketing this movie.
It doesn't even actually have anything to do with the movie.
Well, that is the conspiracy, is that the dominant focus of the movie being made was just to sell toys.
I think in a lot of points, it's a movie for children.
Yep.
Well, you say that, but there's also just like this incredibly dense conversation going on behind the scene about, you know, trade negotiations and politics and ambassadors. And
it's got something for everybody.
No, well.
Fart jokes, political idealists.
It's true. It's like, why didn't they just stick with like one side of it? Like, what if we make this all for kids?
Imagine the Minions movie talking about the geopolitical implications of Gru being the strongest supervillain, you know?
That'd be fascinating. That'd be a better movie.
And then the adults are like, you know what? I want to watch this movie because it'll teach me about politics.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What did you learn about politics from The Phantom Menace?
Oh, man. I learned about blockades.
Oh?
So if you want to block somebody's stuff, you can put, like, a loose network of ships around it.
Half-eaten donut.
Half-eaten donut hole. And then that's it. And then you send your two best ambassadors, which are just Jedi Knights.
Can we... I don't know if we can talk about the Nemoidians, who are the people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Can we talk about the Nemoidians?
That was my first Star Wars toy. You know the Nemoidian guards in Episode 3 that just get killed immediately by Anakin? That was my first toy.
Classic.
Lame stuff.
You were getting Star Wars toys till Episode 3 came out?
No, I didn't get any till Episode
3. It's marketed as Blink, and you would have missed him.
Actually, I was waiting for him.
More like all that was left at Walmart when my mom bought me at Christmas.
Merry Christmas! Here's the racist guard.
Well, that's the point I want to make, is the Nemoidians have, like, the most racist Japanese accent in the universe.
It's so bad. It's so on the nose, and I don't get why. You know, like there's not a lot of other, like, Star Wars aliens that are stereotyped as, like...
Bro, there's one that is literally my people. There's a character that is literally my people.
It's all in the same movie.
Yes.
Good old... I don't think... You know,
Watto is a Jewish stereotype.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's also in episode one. There's a lot of great stereotypes in episode one.
He has a long nose, and he's very stingy.
You know what? We can do this. This is okay.
The family credits are no good.
He's got, like, the same chin hair.
I'm allowed to make that impression. You're not.
I was impersonating a Toydarian, not anything else.
Okay.
Do Jedi
You're on
mind
thin
tricks?
Ice.
Do Jedi mind tricks work on you?
No. I'm not weak-minded because of my heritage.
No, dude. Well, if you really think about it, I think Jar Jar Binks was supposed to be a Jamaican. Like a stereotype of Jamaican.
Actually, I think that's true. So really...
Okay.
It's just...
So it's just the whole movie.
George Lucas, I don't think he's a hateful racist. He's just an ignorant racist.
Yay. I think... Okay. There's a lot of this production that I think George just knocked a couple back, you know? Just did some stuff. You know, he just... knocked a couple back, him and the buddies in the back room, and he says, you know what? Let's make an Asian alien. Let's make a Jewish alien.
Guys, I think we need to make a Jewish alien.
Well, you know what?
It's going to really help with the lore.
If you single-handedly created blockbuster filmmaking, maybe you get a pass. Is that how that works?
I think George was like, what can I get away with? Like, I have a proven track record of films that are good. Now I'm just going to throw stuff. It was just a test to see who around him would say yes or no. And turns out everyone would just say yes to him.
Right. Well, I mean, a few things I heard about that. I heard that, number one, like, the script was the first draft. Like, it didn't go through editing. He just wrote it down and was like, here we go. This is what we're going to do. And also it was like, by the time they were actually watching it, you know, I've seen the footage of, like, them in the room watching it, and everyone just kind of like...
Yeah.
Like, well, it's too late now to do anything.
The famous quote is, we may have gone too far in a few places.
Maybe. Oh no, dude. But you know what? I think it gets too much hate.
It does.
Yeah.
I think it's been ridiculed by pop culture to a point where there's not even a really good point to ridicule it. I think it's like a lot of butthurt people in the mid-30s.
So something Trent and I were talking before we started filming, which I have to reference, is the Red Letter Media Mr. Plinkett, that he one of his most popular videos is him doing, like, it's like an hour-long review, like scene by scene by scene, of everything terrible about the Phantom Menace. And of course, you know, the Mr. Plinkett character, it's satire, but he's also, like, he's pretending to be, like, this bitter old man, but he also makes a lot of, like, good objective points. And the thing we were talking about earlier, like, space taxes, and, like, isn't this movie supposed to be for little kids? So he goes through step by step, and you know, I recommend people watch. I'm not trying to draw viewers away from your podcast.
No,
watch it after you listen.
It's actually really good. It's a fun watch.
It is.
If you have an hour to kill.
It's edgy though.
Right.
It is edgy.
But
Trent's mom, don't watch.
Yeah, don't watch mom, please.
So the point is, it's like, you can make fun of it. It's probably one of the people that didn't like the movie, but could also, like, critically go over it while still, you know, not taking themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
But now going back to what Joel and I were talking about, so many people hate it and ridiculed it, but we didn't as kids. There was never a point, and we all said this earlier, there's never a point as kids that we're like, I can't stand. We can sit here now and talk about things like, you know, racist stereotypes that was like, whoosh, went over our heads as kids. And so we can sit and talk about, like, why objectively the things that make the film bad. But as kids, we all loved it.
And I think if you... maybe this is a bad take, but I think if you enjoy something as a kid, that shouldn't tarnish your experience of it. You know, like that shouldn't devalue your experience of it. Like, oh, well, you're just a little kid. You can't hate this or appreciate this properly. Yeah.
Well, in my opinion, the first viewing of something you have is your most valuable viewing of it.
Yeah.
And it's what movies are built around. If you watch a movie and there's a plot twist, that's not really made for your subsequent viewings as much. That's not going to hit you as hard.
Yeah.
So if you watch it as a kid and enjoy it as a kid and you cherish that memory, it doesn't matter how much you enjoy it now.
Right. Yeah.
In a certain sense, because you have already gotten your value out of it.
Nothing can devalue that experience.
That's really true. Yeah, I think, you know, I think out of all the pieces, and especially with like the new Star Wars movies that came out, I think you can go back to Phantom Menace and say it's not great. It's got its issues, but it doesn't deserve the absolute like raking over the coals that's had over the years because Jar Jar Binks is stupid and the plot is too thick and incoherent. It's like Darth Maul is in there. Darth Maul is a great character.
There's a double-sided lightsaber.
It has a double-sided lightsaber.
That's not enough for you.
What more do you want? He has face tattoos before all the SoundCloud kids were doing it.
He only blinks once
throughout
the entire film.
He does a flip.
He has one line.
He kills Liam Neeson. Nobody kills Liam Neeson.
That's true.
Liam Neeson like rarely dies, except for that one movie and that other movie. Okay, he dies sometimes. But, you know, and then you have the score behind it. You know, John Williams. Can we just say, like, say what you want. But that's objectively a great movie score. It's got some great pieces to it, except for the end with the, you know, the final celebration scene. But I think that was patched in at some point, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Duel of the Fates.
Yeah, Duel of Fates is amazing.
Here's the deal, right? So, artistically, there are a lot of factors that go into a good movie. You have, and everybody talks about plot, dialogue. Those are the two things that are lacking. Those are some of the biggest parts of a movie.
Sure.
But in my opinion, every other aspect of the movie hits hard.
Mm.
So I'm talking visuals. Mm. Now, occasionally there's bad CGI.
Yeah, sure.
But also, it's pretty cool looking.
Mm.
Doesn't matter if it's the 90s.
Those pod racing.
It's pretty good for the 90s.
I like pod racing.
There's Naboo. Naboo is pretty.
Show
Natalie
me.
Portman.
Listen,
Natalie
Portman. Listen,
that's
pretty.
Not CGI, but
listen.
She's pretty.
She is pretty. Show me a better pod racing scene in a movie produced in that era.
There's zero.
You can't. It's the best pod racing around.
What about that little clip in episode 2 when they're like at the bar? And there's just a little pod racing on the
it's
TV.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's not even that good.
Yeah. But it's got the music.
Yeah.
It's got the cool.
It's got Natalie Portman.
I think she's too young for us to admire her.
How old was she?
I don't know.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to make sure we're safe. Keep going.
It set us up to enjoy Natalie Portman in episode 2.
If I was attracted to her, you know, when I watched that movie.
Yeah. We're speaking from a childhood perspective.
I could still be attracted to her now because she has also aged along with me.
I think she aged a little more than you. She's
no,
older.
No. You see,
all right,
Anakin
she was 16.
Uh-oh.
Keep going.
All I said was she was pretty. That's all I said. You can't lock me away.
Jack's not coming back on the podcast. He said some questionable things.
We were talking about like what would it take to cancel on the first time.
Jack's
I'm on the
canceled.
Show.
Yeah.
Fine. Natalie Portman was ugly, a grotesque little 16-year-old.
The tradition has been to cancel Joel on the podcast, but
I'm fine.
Look at you go, Jack.
It runs in the family, I suppose.
Oh man. No, one of my favorite scenes is that thing that farts.
The little
what?
Oh no, I know what it's called. It's called an opie.
It's true.
An opie?
Did you learn that from Star Wars Galactic?
Oh, the things with like the noses.
The head
yeah.
So it's called an opie, and I know that because I love I used to love buying action figures of just the worst Star Wars stuff possible. It's like, Darth Vader? No, I don't want a Darth Vader action figure. I want an Opie action figure. And I had one.
Opie Tyler.
I wish I still had it. That would be a fun prop for the table. It was.
You do.
It was it was cool. But yeah,
it farts it on farts, Jar Jar.
And Jar Jar says, "You stinky."
Pew, pew. You know what really captured my imagination as a kid was Sebulba. All right. You know, he's a cool guy to hate. Everybody hates Sebulba. But he's also a cool guy to walk around like.
Yeah,
you ever try to walk around like Sebulba on your hands?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You lift up your legs, and your arms aren't strong enough, and you just tumble over, trying over and over to walk like Sebulba, and you think, how does he do it? The power of computer-generated imagery.
Well, he's not real.
That's the secret.
The secret is he's make-believe.
Well, we're talking about all of our favorite characters from The Phantom Menace. This is a, you know, goes against everything that a Star Wars, you know, the cliche Star Wars
fan. We're
the
real fans.
I love Jar Jar as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big I thought time. Jar Jar was hilarious. I got his action figure. It was my favorite. Steven's over there just like, he, you know.
Steven, don't pretend
your
you didn't love Jar Jar.
Your opinion is invalid, dude.
He's just like shaking his head.
Oh, not
you know what? I was a little kid. And, yeah. You know, Joel and Steven and even Trent can attest that it's like I was high strung, hyperactive. I was obnoxious and a goofball. And it's like, guess what? Jar Jar was all those things too.
Yeah.
So it was easy to see like myself in this character being surrounded by all these very serious, regal, whoa, noble people. And then there's this idiot just like me. And it's like, this is amazing. He makes the funny jokes. He makes the funny sounds.
That's powerful.
Dude,
that's art, man.
That might be like the best Star Wars take that's ever been made. Mark that down.
Eat your heart out, Red Letter Media.
Eat your heart out, dude. We just had a good case for Jar Jar Binks. Oh,
I think that's always been sort of the deal, though, is the argument that he's for kids and adults just really hate him.
Yeah, because adults hate fun. You know what adults do? Taxes and politics.
Boo.
Boo.
That's, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's episode one.
I don't do taxes.
But it all flew over my head.
Yeah.
Can you even tell me now what happened politically in episode one?
Yeah, there's the Trade Federation, and they had something about trade. And then the Gungans are like the indigenous people, and then like the Naboo people are like the colonizers, so they don't like them. And then there's
not
that
colonizers.
They're definitely
colonizers.
Okay.
Oh, dude.
I thought you meant they were actively colonizing.
You're about to get
it.
Canceled.
Yes. They were not the original natives.
You think the people living in the underwater huts are not the original people?
Boss Nass.
They talk to fish.
The fish people.
Oh, no.
Why do they even care? They live underwater.
That's fair.
No, they hate Naboo, though.
Like the planet?
No,
the Naboo.
Yeah, they call it the Naboo. So the Gungans hate the Naboo. I think it's very similar to like the Native Americans.
So here's the thing though. We didn't get into the deep lore of this. There's the head statues and all the stuff where they go and meet before the final battle.
That's true.
So they must have lived on the surface and were forced under the water.
Yeah.
And that's why they're all so grumpy.
And I don't think the humans even know they exist. Oh wait, no, they've definitely had relations. Oh, no.
Okay, oh, okay.
Political relations. Yeah. because the Gungans are whining about them.
That would be interesting to like delve
Steven,
deeper,
pull up Google.
Delve deeper into like the Naboo lore of like when did these people decide we're gonna colonize this planet? We're gonna push the fish people under the water.
I'm sure there's stuff we're missing. No, that would be actually
a prequel to the
prequels. Dude, an origin story, and then give the Gungans like some more endearment.
Disney Plus, give us a series.
Come on, Disney. Get your act together.
Book of Boss Nass. I could not understand the majority. It's like I remember watching that movie with subtitles when I was a little bit older and had it on DVD. It's like, oh, I had no. He was just talking about, ooh, we sa gonna dina bomba.
You sa gonna be punished.
A apologies to all your Gungan listeners.
Okay, but can we be legit here? Let's be legit here.
Okay.
What a cool character.
He's cool.
What an inventive and interesting character that has something different about it. Can you tell me one interesting alien from the new Star Wars movies? No. Come on.
Admiral Akbar.
No.
When he dies.
What's his name? Babu Frick.
I mean, he was actually fairly interesting.
Give us a spin-off.
Come on, give me the Babu Frick bet.
Book
I saw
Babu Frick.
I saw a large, extra large Babu Frick Funko Pop in the for sale section at Target. So
that's the only thing I remember. The only alien. But they brought in a bunch of, and Joel and I were talking about, and we're not going to go off on the, you know, the sequels. But
sure.
They didn't bring back all those aliens from the prequels that they brought in.
Yeah,
that was a little weird.
Like, say what you want, but they did a good amount of world building in that time. Like, Tatooine got more fleshed out, you know? Naboo got precedented, which is great.
It's my favorite Star Wars planet.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Oh, very fun story, and this ties in. So Trent and I were in
San Francisco,
and so we were on this Great American Road Trip, and it was so crazy because we were with this buddy who is a local of San Francisco, and he was taking us around the town, and he said, do you want to go see the Star Wars place? And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, well, there's a place that they filmed Star Wars. And he took us to this place right outside where they filmed like the Full House. And there's this giant, do you remember the name of the garden?
I don't remember it.
It was like this giant garden, but it was Theed. It was Theed from Naboo. And they,
Theed Palace.
And they filmed a ton of scenes.
Yeah. Well, they mostly filmed Naboo in Italy, but I think some of that was
filmed
there.
But some of it was in there, and it had this super crazy architecture. And I remember being with Trent and was like, what a pleasant surprise for a Star Wars fan to be just kind of introduced to this thing that you knew already pretty well. I like that a lot. So Naboo has
cool.
a special place in my heart, too,
in terms
of a planet.
I was actually just looking through my phone a couple days ago and I saw that, and it was another pleasant surprise. I was glad to see it because I kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, it was such a cool little spot. But
I mean, they created an environment for the first time in Star Wars that they couldn't create with the technology they had with all the other ones. Because it's like, you think of, what are the environments? It's like everything is very rugged and just, you're on Tatooine, you're on Hoth. It's like Endor was cool, you know, it's a forest. So it's like, that's one of the first places. You don't get to see that until the last movie.
Yeah.
For just like bits and scenes. It's like, there's so many just rugged planets. And even Endor, with its foresty charm, is still this very like
desolate,
wild, you know, planet.
Yeah,
I'd say Cloud City kind of qualifies, but overall,
but it, you know, it's a mining facility. It's not really like you're on a gas giant in a mining facility, and but now you're in Naboo, and it's like massive palaces and just this overwhelming architecture and
very regal. Yeah, no, I liked Naboo a lot. So they did a good job of world building, and that's what I always come back to, is like, say what you want about Star Wars Episode 1, but there was so many decent precedents that it set for some of the other movies. Like, sure, did a lot of things poorly. There's a lot of things that could have been done better. But, you know, and it also had some decent actors in it. Ewan McGregor is pretty good. Yeah. As a young guy.
Yeah.
Jake Lloyd, actually. No. I don't want to be too hard on Jake Lloyd.
No, you know what? And that's another thing. That's another thing I wanted to bring up. It's like, people were so hard on some of the actors of this movie. Like Jake Lloyd and the guy who played Jar Jar Binks.
No, the stories of those people are heartbreaking. It's like, Ewan McGregor and Liam Neeson, they already had like an acting career. Natalie Portman, they all just went off and did their own things and were completely unfazed. But it's like, Jake Lloyd, it was the worst experience possible. He was like camera shy. Like, he would have PTSD if someone ever pointed a camera from him, in front of him. And it just ruined his life. And the same thing with the guy who played Jar Jar.
Yeah, he got like death threats, and he was saying he was suicidal.
Yeah,
and
no,
stuff.
I saw a document, a little bit that he did, where he was talking about like he was on a bridge ready to jump off. And it's like, okay, you don't like Jar Jar. You don't need to go to the point where it's like you're ready to have the guy who played him and tried his best to do what he wanted with this character, and he's about to jump off a bridge because you didn't think it lived up to the hype of your childhood.
Kill all Star Wars fans.
Yeah. Yo, just, Star Wars fans, you're kind of cringe sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's coming from Star Wars fans. Right.
In case people didn't pick up,
yeah,
we're probably way too in-depth Star Wars fans.
No, but yeah, and that's why for me, one of my missions is to present a different side of this movie and the prequels, not because I'm young and I'm super nostalgic, but because it's like people worked hard on this. You know, it still holds up to some degree. I'd say better than the new movies they put out. And correct me if I'm wrong on that, but it does. And it established a lot of stuff, and a lot of the cool stuff you see in like modern Star Wars, like Mandalorian, and the new stuff coming out, some of that backfill and callbacks were from stuff you were familiar with the prequels. Right. And that's important. That's world building.
Droids are cool, man.
I
had the ATT, you know, Lego set with all the droids.
Oh, I wanted that one. It was so cool. That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when the droids unfold and you see that.
So we were talking about pretending to be Sebulba. Did anybody ever pretend?
Oh, yeah.
Droidica,
unfolding, and you're like, roger.
Dude, droidicas were so sick.
Oh,
like,
they were.
Like, that was the coolest thing you could have given me. It's like, here's this thing. It rolls up in a ball, and it has a shield and two guns.
Fellas, I got bad news.
Oh.
If any of us want a girlfriend ever, we can't show them this podcast now.
No, you know what? You know what? I say otherwise. I watched Star Wars Episode 1 for a first date, and I don't know why, but she was like, show me something you like. And I said, let's watch Star Wars Episode 1. She was not interested at all, but I was.
That's great.
So
I've realized that I tend to watch Star Wars with the girls I date right before we break up. That's been like a trend for me. So I'm avoiding Star Wars with girls I date forever now.
You think there's any correlation there?
Wait a minute. That's what happened.
I've definitely involved Star Wars to a degree in my relationships, to a point where it's like, oh, I've definitely, for like all the women I've had serious relationships with, which is two, I have gone and seen Star Wars in the movie theater. Say what you want about that.
Yeah.
I mean, The Mandalorian was well received. Most people enjoyed that, whether they're a Star Wars fan
or not.
But either way, it's kind of going off topic.
I think it's a pleasant experience if you know how to sell it right. Like, you just say, hey, I know this is confusing. Jar Jar Binks funny. Oh, and then she thinks Jar Jar Binks is funny, huh? Okay, now it's cool. So
there you go.
No.
My opinion, though, I think that people's enjoyment of this movie is directly correlated to how easily annoyed they are. Because you talk to people who hate this movie, and they always bring up young Anakin, Jar Jar Binks.
Yep.
You talk to people who love this movie, they don't care.
Yeah.
I think it's just about what's your level of tolerance for things that are annoying. So for me, who has lots of experience working with kids, fine, let's watch Jar Jar all day.
I've got a high tolerance. Well, I also think, you know, when you're growing up in a time where you got the original Star Wars, you're just kind of an angry person. You know, you got a lot of life behind you. It's okay. That's a heavy burden to carry.
Are you just saying that Gen Xers are angry?
Yeah,
in
they're
general?
Just angry people. They don't want to have fun. I just want to be miserable.
It's like, I think we can relate to that, though. What they felt when they watched the prequels was kind of what a lot of us, Star Wars fans felt when we watched the sequels.
That's true.
It was like, I was expecting to feel the way that I felt when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's probably part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
Like a guy I used to watch a lot on YouTube, Hello Greedo. He's a Star Wars YouTuber. He used to talk a lot about how, because he grew up as like part of that Gen X generation, and he grew up and understood that the prequels are universally hated and could get away with saying that. And then as like time went on, his audience changed and he watched as younger people started to have a voice on the internet and started to express their enjoyment of the prequels, and it caught him completely off guard. And his theory is that the same thing will happen with the sequels.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For sure. And it's like, that's something that I think Joel and I have also, we were talking about how it's like, well, now these people that grew up watching the prequels and enjoyed them now have a voice to actually articulate why they enjoyed them. And a lot of it's, you know, from the perspective of nostalgia and like, oh, sure. But
sure, you know, and the same thing will happen. You know, I'm sure there's plenty of kids that, you know, it, for a good example, you grew up with the Star Wars Legends, you know, what's now Legends as like the extra extended universe. Trent didn't. You know, Trent's just got the official Disney, you know, sanctioned by the CCP. Yeah.
Suffer, Jack.
Yeah.
All those years of Star Wars novelizations that I read, all those years on reading pages on Wikipedia just for it to all become non-canonical.
It's wasted.
Throw suffer. Out the window.
That's a lot of your brain that could have been used for something else.
No, it wasn't.
Read Lost Stars, though. It's very good.
It's so funny. I was telling Jack the other day, I was like, could you imagine what we would use our brains for if like 15% of it wasn't dedicated to remember the blue elephant, Max Rebo?
Max Rebo. Yeah, no, probably nothing good. No. But, you know, another thing that goes off, and one of you guys touched on this a second ago, is a lot of what came out of it. We were talking at the beginning, the merchandise. It's like, that's another thing as a kid. It's like, as an adult, you go to the movie theater, you're expecting this, you didn't get it, you're going to leave, and you're going to talk about why, objectively, this is a bad film, which all of us can do with the sequels. Whereas as a kid, it's like, you watch the movie, and then it's like, here's Lego Star Wars the video game, here's these action figures, here's these, you know, all this other forms of media that stem off of what was created in the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just so much more that you can sink your teeth into. So when somebody says, like, oh, I don't like the prequels, it's like, in our minds, you're saying, like, oh, this is way more
you hate my childhood
in my brain than it is for you.
You hate the Naboo Gungan terraforming video game for the PC.
That's right.
You know what I did whenever I played dodgeball as a kid?
Uh-oh.
I imagined that I was a Gungan in warfare, throwing the weird energy balls.
The boobas.
The boobas.
Take the booba.
Please, I don't have a booba.
I really hope your future wife isn't watching this.
Hey, baby. It's not true.
You still pretend with boobas?
Jack, this is a clean, family-friendly podcast.
They were the blue energy balls the Gungans had. I don't know what you're talking
George
about.
Lucas was definitely throwing words at a dartboard, just like, what should we call them? Boobas.
I mean,
kids will love them.
George Lucas gave us episode 6, Leia. He probably, from the same mind.
What does that have to do with anything?
He has one thing on his mind. That's what I'm saying.
I have no idea what correlation you're trying to make.
Boobas. Oh, man.
Don't listen to this episode.
No, this one's just this one's just throwaway.
Yeah. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, fellas. No.
Well, that's your Joel. That's your job, Jack, because...
That's your Joel job.
It's not even
Booba. What are they called?
Booba.
I'm sorry that they say it so weird.
Okay, I revert back to my original statement, which now is like very good disclaimer. I could not understand the Gungans. They're all just like, I don't know what they're saying. Sound like they're saying Boobas. So Boomas? Zabooma Fooma?
Okay. Okay, Booma.
Okay, the Booma. Okay. Well, fine. I guess I'm not a true Star Wars fan.
All right. Well, now that we've established that we're fake Star Wars fans, we just watched one of the movies ever.
We watched one of the movies.
One of the movies ever.
watched one of the best Star Wars movies ever.
How are you guys better?
I'm not, dude.
Dude, I was better.
I'm not, man.
So imagine this, right? You have lightsabers, uh-huh. And then it's double-sided.
Steven's about to weep.
Tell me that's not better. Tell me I'm not a better man.
What? He's still laughing.
We have to continue on. If we let Steven stop
I
laughing.
I kind of want to watch this keep going.
Well, nobody else can see it. We don't have a camera on Steven.
Hey, Steven, booba.
I think what we ultimately proved with this episode is that we haven't
we're
grown
children.
Up beyond 12.
We are children.
Yeah,
we're just frozen in time.
We're trying to find a reason why adults can enjoy the prequels, and the reality is we just never,
we just
grew,
never
up.
Grew up.
We're still kids, and that's why we can
we're
stay.
Living in Peter Pan world.
Yeah,
okay.
This movie is okay for anybody because I like it, and I'm 12 years old.
Rated PG. Your parents have to be in the room with their hand on your shoulder.
That's a good point Trent brings up, though. It's like, could you honestly recommend this movie to someone who has, like, no Star Wars background or very little Star Wars background and say, like, oh, yeah, you should watch The Phantom Menace?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I don't think... I with the context behind it, I don't think... If you know the context, it could be an interesting watch. If you don't know... the thing is, there's not really an easy way to go about it because if you watch the pacing of the first three movies and then go to the first, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If you start with the first, you might not be into it. So it's not like there's an easy way to sandwich that in for people. Mm. But, all right, we completely derailed the entire...
That's okay.
...the ending. But you were saying double lightsaber.
Double lightsaber. I'm a better man because of the double lightsaber. I'm going to save the world because of the double lightsaber.
That's good. Yeah. What about you, Jack? How was your experience and how are you better from it?
I'm better from it. I mean, I don't know if I'm better from it because of all the time I sunk into it, but it's like, I guess moving forward, it's like, I don't want people in terrible movies to have to like live terrible lives from that point forward because there was such a negative reception. It's like, I wish that I had some sort of a voice as a child to tell, like, the actor of Jar Jar, you're my favorite Star Wars character. Not just in this movie, of all time, you're my favorite. It's like, if that could have reached... And, you know, nowadays with social media, maybe it can, but it's like, I guess to try and not become the people that so brutally rip on movies like The Phantom Menace, especially when it's like, none of us enjoyed the prequels, but we don't want to become that.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. If you bullied Kelly Marie Tran, you're a bad person.
I'd say so.
I don't know who that is.
She played Rose, and she left social media because she was getting bullied.
Yeah, it's like same thing with that.
Yeah.
It's like, just a person doing their job and acting.
Yeah, and it's not really her fault as much as it is just like there is a bunch of people working on this. It's like the same thing with Star Wars Episode 1. It's like it's not the actor's fault. He was doing what he was trying to do the best that he could do it. And you had George Lucas, who was just kind of like stumbling around and going like,
"Yeah, let's put the Jar Jar guy, make him, you know, smell the fart."
It's like he was trying to do the best that he could do. And I don't know the story with this, you know, lady, but maybe in the future that story will come out. But
can we make Jar Jar wear a pair of blue jeans?
It's out. You just gotta look for it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, stop bullying actors. They're real people. They're playing a fictional character. That's it's true. Not a personal affront to your dignity.
Yeah.
So for me, I actually think Star Wars Episode 1 taught me a big lesson, which is to kind of stick to your guns about what you like and what you don't like. You know?
Yeah.
Don't be hateful. The thing is, like, for a while, it was hard to say I like Star Wars Episode 1, and you could get away with that and not have people shout you down. Like,
right.
I had a friend who was like, you don't like Star Wars Episode 1? It's the worst. And it's like, why is it the worst? Well, everyone says it's the worst. Right. And I'm going to do what everybody says.
Yeah.
And it's like, have your own opinion on it. If you like a movie that's kind of trashy, like, I love The Dark Crystal, you know, Jim Henson's Dark Crystal. But no, a lot of people don't like it. I think it's great, you know? But it's like, it's your opinion, man.
Right.
It's like, it's what you want to do. And I think it taught me how to view movies through a less, like, hateful, like, I'm going to hate on this for the sake of being a objector.
Yeah, or it's like it's popular to hate on movies. Yeah. Know, people were trying to show me with the prequel or the sequel. It's like, did you guys see Ben Shapiro's reasons why Star Wars The Last Jedi was terrible? It's like, I don't care what he thinks about this movie.
Yeah, there should only be one important opinion to you, and that's yours.
Yeah.
That's actually something I kind of learned with all of the dialogue surrounding the sequels. Like people invested their whole identity and probably did the same for the prequels. We just weren't involved. But at a certain point, you have to realize other people's opinion shouldn't matter to you. The only opinion that should matter to you is your own. And that sounds like a prideful thing, but the more prideful thing is to insist that others share your opinion.
Hmm. That's very wise.
Yeah. So, if you hated Star Wars Episode One and you're mad, go listen to another podcast.
Hmm.
Or keep listening to this one. Give us address.
Or better yet, like, give me an address. We'll show up. We'll fist fight.
Yeah.
That's cool too.
We'll state our own address on the podcast.
I'm going to get like a children's size Jar Jar Binks shirt off eBay, and it's going to be up to my belly. It's going to beat the snot out of some neckbeard.
All right. Density scale, boys.
Density scale. If you don't know, the density scale.
Oh, I know about the density.
He's a fan of the podcast. He got a tattoo on his back.
That's right. And the tattoo is actually a density scale.
So density scale, I would start with, I'm going to give this about a 5.
Yeah. The politics add some density.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. It's like it balances it out because in some places, like this is a 10 when they're in the Senate and they're talking about trade negotiations. That's a 10. When Jar Jar's smelling the farts, you know, that's a 0.
Yeah.
So they balance each other out at an even 5.
Yeah. And you get like these like very like crazy scenes where it's like, you know, Qui-Gon Jinn is dying and stuff and like very deep, you know, deep feelings from people. And then, you know, Jar Jar eats laser and it's funny, you know, so it goes back and forth. It probably needs to pick a lane at some point, but who knows? So. Yeah. But yeah, man, I would. So here's my big question. Where would you rate this on your Star Wars movie rankings out of all of the movies?
I think it's number 4 for me.
Okay.
Yeah, probably 4 after all the prequels.
I'd say probably like 4 or 5. So.
All right.
Yeah, it's a decent watch. I'll let my kids watch it for sure.
I think Star Wars fans would track my house down and murder me if they knew the rest of my list.
We know it's all the sequels.
No.
Stars? Episode 5.
Yeah.
8.
Nope.
9.
No. Definitely not.
8, 4. No. 5, 4, 8.
3.
Yes. 3.
3 is your top.
Nope.
3 is the one? Number 1.
Yep.
You have 1 over 3?
Yep. This is my list.
Okay, that's fine. Your opinion is wrong.
Take back everything I said about opinions.
I told you. If Star Wars fans knew my ranking, they'd come to my house and kill me. And you've exposed my top 4, so now they're just going to come to my house and brutally injure me.
Hey, what's your address?
My address is 1234 Go Away and Never Come Back.
He lives on Naboo, actually.
I live on Naboo.
I live on Naboo under the sea.
I live in Italy where they filmed the thing.
Well, this has been a pleasure, man. Jack, thank you for joining us for this great conversation.
Now, before we leave, let's go over what's coming up.
Mm.
Okay, so next week we are going to cover Pinkerton. And then after that, we are going to cover The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Yes.
It's going to be a great time.
He's a hungry boy.
He is.
I still haven't read that yet, so don't spoil it for me.
Okay. He eats...
No!
He'd be eaten. No! He eats all sorts of fruits.
No!
Get ready.
No.
Yeah. In case you couldn't tell, Wild Summer is wild.
It's so wild.
We're doing literally whatever we want.
Yeah.
Because it's Wild Summer. Let's go. Okay. And then we're going to do In the Field. And then we're going to cover The Big Lebowski.
Yep. Which is my favorite movie
Which
of all
Joel
time.
Quoted earlier today. That's just your opinion.
It's just
man.
Your opinion, man.
All right.
I've develop my entire personality off a movie.
So now that you know what our next episodes are and aren't going to do your homework, that's to the audience, not to you, Joel.
No, it's to me too.
Okay, I wasn't trying to call you out, but let's go. Let's go.
Hey, we're content creators. We got to have a boxing match.
All right, true.
Like a kiddie pool full of pudding?
Oh, what? Okay, this episode.
Set that up.
This needs to end. Wild summer is getting a little too wild for me.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I love you all.
Big kisses.
Three kisses this time.